Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayera, we have five Divrei Torah. We're going to start at the beginning of the Parsha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Votesi Eschem Mitacha Sivlos Mitzrayim, I shall take you out from the burdens of Mitzrayim. And what's interesting here is that it could have simply said, Votesi Eschem Mi Mitzrayim, I could have taken you out, I would take you out, I am going to take you out from Egypt. What does it mean, Mitacha Sivlos Mitzrayim, I'm going to take you out from the servitude of Mitzrayim? So the Chidush Arim says as follows, that the first step, and the required step to have a geula, to have a redemption, to get out from a galus, to get out from an exile, is that the Jews have to be at the point that they are sick and tired of being there. We are sick and tired of galus. We want to go home. This is enough. We've had enough. We need to go home at this point. And Klal Yisrael had not, as of yet, reached that point. And until we reach that point, and this is applicable not only at the time of the galus from Mitzrayim, or the geula from Mitzrayim, but in every galus that we're in, it has to reach the level of we're sick and tired of this place, let's go home to the land of Israel. And here HaKadosh Baruch is saying to Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that you have savlanut, you have patience, I'm going to make it that you're going to want to get out of this place. So that's why the Pasuk says the Chidush Erim, Votzesi Escha Mitachat Sivlos Mitzrayim, I am going to take you out of the Savlanut, the patience that you have towards being in Egypt, that it's not yet that you're sick and tired of being here. I'm going to make it that Klal Yisrael is going to reach the level of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired of being in Egypt, and they're going to want to get out of the place. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to take you out. We are now moving on to Dvar Torah number 2. It is in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf, and we have a discussion here of the various yuchsim, starting from Reuven, and we're getting all the way to the yuchas, the family connections, the family tree of Moshe and Aaron. And in this pasuk, it says, "Vateled lo," talking about Yocheved, gave birth to her husband Amram. Vateled lo es Aaron ves Moshe, gave birth to Aaron and Moshe. This is, in fact, the Dvar Torah we had last year, but I just could not refrain from giving it again because I like it so much. So why is the Torah telling us that a mundane issue, that Yocheved and Amram, and they gave birth to Aaron and Moshe? And in fact, the Sefer Hamorah of Talmud tells us as follows, the Torah is telling us on purpose something very critical, that Moshe Rabbeinu, they were born to normal parents. They had normal births. They were normal individuals, but despite that, nevertheless, they were able to become Gedolei Yisrael. They were able to become the greatest of the Nevi'im, the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael. Why is that? Not because they were born into royalty, not because of the yichus that they had, but because of their actions, because of their deeds, and because of the good decisions that they made for their lives. It's not that they came down and they were angels and they were born to be angels. It's not that they were born into this, but it's because of what they did with their lives that they became the greatest leaders in Klal Yisrael. And this is the limud, this is what we can learn from this, the message that we can call from this, that this applies to each and every individual, says the Sefer HaMorah of HaTalmud, that if we work hard, and if we make the proper decisions for our lives, then we can reach to the highest levels as well, even to the levels of Moshe and Aharon. We are now moving forward to number 3. This is in Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe that Aaron should lift up his staff, lift up your stick, and extend it over the waters and bring up the frogs. This is talking about the second plague. We're now in the Aseres HaMakos, the 10 plagues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on Mitzrayim. And this is number 2, Tzvardeya. And the Pasuk says as follows, V'ha'al es ha'svardayim, that Aaron, when he lifts up his staff, he should bring up, or he should raise up the frogs. And this word, V'ha'al, bring up, raise up, actually shows up in two places in the Chumash. This is the first one. First one is bring up the tzvardayim, bring up the frogs. And the second one is in Bamidbar, Perek Chaf, where it discusses the death of Aaron. Right before the death of Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach es Aharon ves Elazar beno, you should take Aaron and Elazar his son, v'ha'al osam hor ha'har, and you should bring them up to hor ha'har. This is the time that Aharon is going to pass away at the top of hor ha'har, and he's going to be passing the vestments and the kuhuna gedola over to his son Elazar. And the Likutei Sfas Emes brings down as follows that we have a limud. Why does it say it specifically in these two places? Bring up the Tzvardeya. This is the plague of the frogs. And also specific Vaha'al, that Aharon should go up, bring up Aharon to Hor Ha'har. And the limud is as follows. Just like we know, when it came to the plague of the Tzvardeya, the frogs, that they had tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. They sacrificed their lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, frogs go everywhere. And they literally went everywhere. They went into the burning ovens. They went into the boiling hot pots and cauldrons. They went everywhere, even if it meant sacrificing their lives. But they were being Mekayim, the mitzvah. They were Mekayim, the tzivoy, the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn the same thing applied to Aaron in the second place, where it says this word Vaha'al, bring up, go up, raise up, that Aaron is going to go up to Hor Ha'ar. Aaron knows that he's going to be passing away now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it. This was the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the tzivoy, the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like those frogs, they were moser nefesh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do something, so to Aaron in the second place that it says, Vaha'al, go up, raise yourself up. Aaron also had tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. He also, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go up to the Har, go up there, even though you're going to be passing away there, he did it nonetheless. And the message, obviously, is as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, we have to do it, even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it's a challenge. And it was certainly challenging for the Tzvardeim. It's challenging for the frogs to do, to jump into those boiling hot pots and the hot ovens. And it was difficult, we can imagine, for Aaron going up, knowing that this is the last walk of his life. He's walking up to Hor Ha'har, where he's going to pass away. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, you do it, because it is your tzivoy, that is your mitzvah, that is your commandment. We are now moving forward to number four. This one is a tad bit more complicated, and we are now in plague number five, Dever. This is the real epidemic of the livestock, and the psukim say as follows. I'm going to read it in the psukim, because the words are mission critical for us for this Dvar Torah. It says as follows, Vayas Hashem, we are in Perek Tes, Psukim Vav and Zayin. I'm reading it inside of a Chumash. It says as follows: Vayas Hashem es hadavar hazeh mimacharas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. He brought the dever. He brought the epidemic on the livestock. Vayamas kol mikne Mitzrayim, and all the livestock of Egypt, they died, each and every one, without an exception. Umimikne b'nei Yisrael lo meis echad, and from the livestock of Klal Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, important words, b'nei Yisrael, from the Jews, lo meisachad, not even one passed away. Not even though naturally some would die. You have so much livestock, something is going to die. Not one died from the livestock of the Jews. And continuing, obviously, Paro hears about this. Their whole flock, Egyptian flock, wiped out, done, gone. But that of the Jews, not one gone. And he sends out a messenger to confirm this. Vayishlach Paro. So he sends out, wants to confirm 100%, is this true? If it's true, miraculous, he may have to give in at this point to the God of the Jews. Bine lo meis mimikne Yisrael. And it was true that there was not one of the livestock that passed away from the livestock of the Jews. Ad echad. What is ad echad? Ad echad could be read in one of two ways. Even one, or it could be with the exception of one. Because if we contrast to the words right before, the prior pasuk says that nothing died of Klal Yisrael, lo meis echad, not even one. But here it says ad echad, maybe it's except one. And because of that, as we'll see, what's the result? Vayichpad lev paro, that paro, his heart was hardened, and he did not consent to send out the Jews. He was not giving in. So the Gross says beautifully. He says as follows, as is known, there was one intermarriage of Klal Yisrael. There was one Jewish woman that married a Mitzri. That turned out, as time went on and the Jews were in the Midbar, there was the Megadef. There was that one person that went out and blasphemed God, lo aleinu. And that was actually the son of that mixed marriage, the Jewish mother, the Egyptian father. Now, as we know, nowadays the halacha is that we have matrilineal descent. Religion is based on the mother, not the father. So if the mother is Jewish, the children are Jewish. If the father is not Jewish, still, if the mother is Jewish, the children are Jewish, but the reverse is not the case. We don't have patrilineal descent, that if the father is Jewish and the mother is not Jewish, those kids are not going to be Jewish. It has to be that the mother is Jewish. But that was only the case, explains the Ramban in the name of Chachmei Tzarfat, that was only the case after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael has matrilineal descent. But before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael had patrilineal descent. And accordingly, when we had this son that would go on in blasphemy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Aleinu, that son, if it were after Matan Torah, his mother was Jewish, he'd be considered Jewish. But before Matan Torah, he was not Jewish. He was not Jewish. And accordingly, the Torah is telling us what happened. Umimikne b'nei Yisrael, we're in Pasuk Vav, from the Mikne, the livestock of b'nei Yisrael, of the Jews. And before that, this individual was the son of a Mitzri. He was not Jewish. His mother was Jewish, but his father was not Jewish, and we have patrilineal descent. So this individual was not Jewish. So accordingly, the Torah is telling us, from the livestock of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, the Jews, none died. But when Paro sent out somebody to investigate, he didn't know the rules of the book. He didn't know that before Matan Torah, we had patrilineal descent, and he had somebody go out and scout out, and he found out, Hine lo meis mimikne Yisrael ad echad, with the exception of one. There's one Jew, at least that's a Jew, that Paro thought he was Jewish. Truth be told, he wasn't Jewish because we had patrilineal descent before Matan Torah, but Paro didn't know that. Paro considered him to be Jewish. He really wasn't Jewish, but Paro considered him to be Jewish, and his livestock died. So he's saying here, there is a Jew here, and his livestock died. Then that's what the pasuk says, Vino lo meis mimikne Yisrael ad echad, except one. And when he saw that there was one Jew, based on his computation, the person was Jewish, based on his computation, there was a Jew that had his livestock survive. Paro said, this isn't from God. There's some fluke going on here, but if it were from God, really, it'd be 100%. And here we have this exception. And that's why when he saw that it was ad echad, except prat le'echad, with the exception of one, then Paro said, I'm not giving in. Va'yechbad lev Paro, the pasuk continues, that he hardened his heart was hardened, and he did not send Klal Yisrael out. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. We are in Perek Tes Pasuk Lamed, plague number 7, Bara, the plague of the hail. Mitzrayim got hailed on tremendously. They got pounded, and at a certain point, Paro even says, Chatasi, I have sinned, I give in. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you want me to pray, you want me to stop the barad, you want me to stop the hail. When I leave the city, when I leave all the avodah zarah, the idolatry of the city, that's when I'll daven. But truth be told, we are now in Perek Tes, Pasuk Lamed. Truth be told, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, I know that you and your servants still don't fear HaKadosh Baruch. I know the truth. You're claiming that I sinned and I'm giving in. I know the truth. V'ata v'avadecha, this is the Pasuk as it says it. V'ata v'avadecha yadati, I know. Hi terem tira'un mibnei Hashem Elohim. I know you still don't fear HaKadosh Baruch. So the Torah's Moshe, and we'll get back to this Pasuk in a second. The Torah's Moshe asks the following question. It's actually a common question. It's a known question. The Mitzrim, they are inflicting the Jews, punishing the Jews. They are really, really enslaving the Jews to the maximum. But the question is, why should they be held responsible? It was a gzeira, it was a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jews would be enslaved in bondage and would be afflicted. So why are we holding the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, responsible if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Mitzrim are going to enslave the Jews, so why punish the Mitzrim for doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to do? And the Torah's Moshe answers as follows, that truth be told, had the Mitzrim enslaved the Jews with the intention, with the motivation that that's what God wanted, they would not be held accountable for it. However, that was not their motivation. Maybe the action was done, and the action was what God wanted, but their motivation was because of evil, because of their hatred of Klal Yisrael. And although you may do the act correctly, but if your motivation is not based on doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but it's an impure or horrific motivation, hatred of the Jews, that is something that you will be punished for. So interestingly, if we back up a few psukim, we're now in Pasuk Chaf Zayin. When Paro admitted, I did something wrong, Chatasi Apam, this time I sinned, Hashem HaTzadik, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is correct, Va'ani V'ami HaRishayim, I and my nation are Rishayim. Some of the Meforshim point out that you can read this Pasuk in a different way, that Paro is here saying, Chatasi Apam, Hashem HaTzadik V'ani, I have sinned, we have sinned, but Hashem is right and I am right. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Va'ami is really my nation, the Rishayim. It's really my nation. They are the evil people. That's what Paro was claiming. I had the right motivations, or he was saying that I didn't want to be doing all this enslaving the Jews, but it's my nation and they required me and they compelled me to do it. That's one way to read this pasuk. So we're changing where the comma is. Instead of reading it as Chatasi Apam Hashem HaTzadik comma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, Va'ani V'ami Hashem, and I and my nation, we're the Rishayim, we're moving the comma after Va'ani, and we're reading it, Chatasi Apam Hashem HaTzadik V'ani, Hashem is right and I'm right. I really wanted to do the right thing, but my nation, they are the Rishayim. And now we can understand our Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu responds back, Va'ata Va'avadecha, you and your Avadim, I know the truth. I know the truth about your motivations. I know you don't fear God. I know that you enslave the Jews because you hate the Jews, because you're a Rishayim, and not because you wanted to do the right thing, that it was the ruts and the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously the message is as follows. We have to do the right actions, but not only the right actions in life, but they should be backed up by the proper motivations as well. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.